You know, making any decisions.
Yeah, we have in the past how we're working with that.
All right, we're gonna open up the meeting for our work meeting November 30th, the Planning Commission work meeting November 30th. It's now 6:03. Nancy Tulsa, Costa, sorry, Shelley Price Gibson, and Tina Carlson are here, the Planning Commission members. We have Peg Smith and Jessica LaFever as staff. Okay. The first thing on this work meeting is to presenting materials about communicating more successful meetings. And Nancy, you talked about action items on agendas in a reference to also just to decision items. Do you want to just clarify that for us?
Sure.
All right, Elena. Elena is here.
Sorry, I'm sticking two seats here.
I was thinking it might be helpful to be clear when we put an agenda out that there are topics we intend to take action on, and there are topics that we are just discussing. And you know, even to label them as such when we put the agenda together.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've suggested in the past, we have discussion at one meeting, get our ideas sort of lined up, let the public be aware of what the topics are that we're dealing with, and then plan to take action at the next meeting rather than introducing a topic and then trying to make a vote on it at that original meeting. So, I mean, if there's an emergency or something that we have to respond to, obviously we should, you know, take action when we can, but it might be a way just to sort of tee things up, particularly when Lee is presenting a lot of information to have, you know, this is what Lee's suggesting, these are the options, and we have a discussion around it and decide that at the next meeting, we will tee it up for some, as a vote to take action on. So that was my suggestion, that we just, and then we would identify in our agenda, you know, our business agenda might be a lot of action items, and then we'd set discussion items at the end or at the beginning, depending on Lee, because of his nighttime need for sleep sometime.
Right. Thank you, Nancy. Is there any questions for Nancy about that? I would like to consider this. Let's go. Shelly, are you, any questions?
Nope, right here.
Great. Yeah.
I like the idea of being organized and so on. And my suggestion that I rambled on at one meeting is just to split our time, you know, where we work on ordinances. That's an ongoing business that we've got to do. And then the number one is doing our project. That's the first one. If we have it on the, from the zoning that we've got to look at a project, that's our number one, right? It's our job. And then break it down that way of what our needs are every time we get together and how many places we've got to focus. It's a focus factor is what I've kind of suggested, and making our agenda. But see what, my mind, I'll tell you. what she said, I love that part. Thank you.
Okay, great. I'm going to try and go with that for the next little while and see how we do, but I think that will help. The materials on which we were discussed, it was also this suggested that the items be under the agenda items. So Peg, you were pretty clear about that. Yeah. You understood.
Correct my agenda.
Okay, great. Okay. And then work meetings, again, are just for discussions only, and regular meetings that's when our motions come. So I'm hoping that within this work meeting, we have hashed over what we need on roads, access, and anything that we feel we should consider moving forward. And at our next meeting, we can make it more official with the motions. There's one thing that Elena and I talked about was a straw vote option. And I kind of looked into this, and that is just by moving an agenda as an action item or to an action item or a discussion item, just as like somebody presents something. Elena has done that for the RV options. And then if we could get just a straw vote as far as like move forward, we're still considering this, we want Elena to do something more or ask for more information before going forward. I'll look into that a little bit more, but I think that's possible to do without a real official ordinance form in front of us. I think that's I guess also at this point, I'd like to say that I think if we can figure out what we want to do as far as layman terms, as far as where our goals are, and present that to the town even before ordinances, it just gives them more information to go on versus seeing an ordinance and that's their starting place. I think that's very difficult for them to really understand why we're bringing ordinances forward a bit or how they're set up. Go ahead.
I would support the idea of, I don't know if you'd call it a straw vote or a thumbs up. I mean, that was one way we used to do it. If staff presented some ideas and the council or the commission wanted the staff to do more research or bring it forward, we would agree a thumbs up that, you know, that should be done. And so there wouldn't be a motion that, you know, you're going to go do this, but it would just be, yeah, we're all up. We've got a consensus here that,
yeah,
you know, we need to move
say
forward on.
Thumbs up.
Oh, because we're Zoom.
Yeah, for the recording. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Of course. Let's see. Roundtable discussion. I just want to make sure that I'm following that process. And so I am going to have a list of everybody's at the meeting and just check off people as we go around, so there's not back and forth between commissioners and we all have a chance to speak on the subject, because that's a hard one to keep us from doing, I think, in a way. Anonymous consent. I can do anonymous consent for so many things. I think that's agenda and
anonymous consent.
There's quite a few things that I can do that for minutes, agenda, closing.
And as I clarified last time, I misspoke when I said our planning commission in my old life had used the consent agenda. It was the town council that did that because they have budget and bills and, you know, it's so more mundane things. I don't know if it's appropriate at the planning commission level to do that. I mean, we could do it, you know, approve the agenda in the minutes, but that doesn't usually take much time and it's not a big, I don't think it's a big deal. So I misspoke at the last, I want to clarify that for the public and for you guys that was a tool we used
right.
The town council, in the city council.
Okay, I'll try and use it when I
can. Am I not speaking up? I could turn it up.
Yeah, there you go. The other thought was that the whole idea of repeating a motion, when we do motions, that we repeat that in three different ways. Once after it's been given, after it's seconded, well, depending, I guess a motion has been put to the board, it's seconded, and then it's repeated again before the vote. Um, And then the idea of preparing motions from our work meetings, having the planning commissioners have a thought at least before the meeting about what motions they would feel comfortable doing, or hope that we consider in our action items. And this also could include, you know, a pause for those to write down the motion so that we can repeat it clearly, and also give us a chance to even think about how we're going to present our motion. I think we shouldn't be afraid of having a chance for people to actually have a thought, time for thought before. And I do have a whiteboard to put motions on. I'll see if I can bring that in next time for us. Let's see. And that's about it for that I had. But I really do hope that I can set up the meetings less chaotically than the one before. Okay, so the next thing we're going to go through is a discussion. Does anybody else have any comments on moving forward on that? Okay, so there's 12. We're going to start with John's 12. Comments on items for roads. And he did mention that page 2 and 5. Well, it's the 12 attached street standard motion.
On page 3 right now?
Yeah. And we'll just read through them and see if we have any kind of thumbs up or agreement or if there's any discussion about more information needed for any calls and motions. Is everybody clear about that? Do we want to go forward here? So the first one is consent with the general plan, design standards for new subdivision driveways, private streets should allow narrow gravel travel lanes and should not require typical suburban style construction features.
See on page 3. I'm on page 3 there. Yeah. What you just said.
Motion on Broadway.
Yeah. Oh, this right up there, Peg. I just read number 1.
Oh, okay. Oh, then.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments on that one? And this is his layman, like, yeah, where we're going with this.
The problem I have with this is it's sort of like the quote suburban style construction features. It's not clear what this really means. I mean, so I realize it's trying to help people understand, but I suspect everybody would have a different idea of what typical suburban style means.
Do you have a suggestion for?
Maybe we just put a period after gravel travel means. And
yes, okay, I would agree with that.
And find another way.
Shelley, do you have any comment?
Thank you. My thing is it says for this for subdivision driveways and private streets. Subdivisions include how many? 4 people that can be in a subdivision, right? 4 or 5?
No, subdivision actually doesn't at this point have a limit to the number of subdivisions within the subdivision.
So what? Yeah. Okay, so give me a definition of suburban style. What does that mean?
Well, I think that's Nancy's point, is that it's a little unclear, so we might take that part out.
That we would just put a period after narrow gravel travel lanes, period.
But we need more information than that for new subdivision driveways and private streets, right? Shall have be allowed narrow gravel lanes. Shouldn't we have more information than that? Because if there's more than one house on it, we should be able to bring any kind of fire department or what is it called through those streets, right? Doesn't it have to be a little wider than a narrow gravel?
That sort of comes later, I think, in John's points here.
Later, before we approve the project?
Now, further down the list.
Later
here.
In this list.
Later in this list.
Okay, I'll be patient and just we'll go on. How's that?
Okay, that's
further fine. Down the list.
Okay, and we can go come back to discuss whether this is even a reasonable thing for.
Maybe it's, sorry, Tina, go ahead. It's worth sort of the point of this is to kind of see if we're all on the same page about what we're trying to do here, right?
Right.
I mean, it's because we wouldn't necessarily say, well, you're allowed to build a narrow gravel lane.
No.
I mean, there will be more specifications. So this is a kind of a high level agreement amongst us.
Yeah. Right. And I think, you know, ultimately it depends on the number of lots that are going to be accessing the private street, and there'll be a number of other issues we'll have to be discussing. I'll go on. Number two, driveways shall be defined as serving only one lot. New access serving more than one lot shall be considered a private street. Anybody have a concern with that?
I feel pretty strongly that this one makes sense if we pass new street standards and doesn't if we don't. So I would not like to see that done until the new street standards are passed, because otherwise we're just in the same boat where people are making larger private streets than the public streets that access them. Which seems
so to be your concern is that the standards need to be defined. This is just in a broad, like this is just as defining a road.
Yeah. So I'm just saying in general, like as we talk about this stuff, I think that it is okay to have driveways only serve one lot potentially if it comes after changing the street standards. And I know we're talking about all of it. I just, my thing is I wouldn't want one to happen without the other.
Can you say what in the street standards you would need to change?
So even like what John's talking about before, like allowing more narrow gravel travel lanes and stuff, and the stuff we've been talking about with making Class C roads and such. Right now, the private street standards are pretty extensive. And I don't think it's, I mean, we've talked about not wanting to actually require that of people. So I just would want to make sure that we change those standards before we allow only one lot to be accessed by a driveway. Because right now it is very easy to create a driveway and very hard to create a private street.
Okay. Thank you.
Any
questions?
Close the door and put on the fan.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
It seems to me that the notion of a private driveway serves one lot. A private street serves multiple lots in a subdivision. It's part of the definition, so I would see it being done all at once. I mean, we're not going to adopt something about private streets and not talk about private driveways.
Yeah.
So,
it seems like we're trying to do them all at the same time. I'm just
right
making clear that I think we must.
Yeah. Okay. So ultimately, if a definition of a driveway is one lot, are you okay with that?
I think so. I think the only thing to consider there is that if we're using the wildland urban interface code, a driveway can be 12 feet wide. A street is 20 feet wide, which is a big difference. Also, in the interface code, They are fine with driveways accessing
five
dwellings.
Right.
So if we're going to use their code, we might consider just doing that. I think it's worth thinking about. A driveway is much easier than a street. So I just think it's worth, and takes up less space if someone's going to like irrigate or whatever, just in terms of usable land. It's unnecessarily wide, if you ask me.
20 feet. Okay. Okay. So access for public safety and emergency is the primary municipality concern in setting construction standards. I think this is a no-brainer if we are going to actually have, you know, any kind of subdivision rules, this would be primary. And if we don't do it, we become responsible for any problems that so entail.
I was thinking about that in related to what you were saying, Elena, about the, you know, the requirements are onerous in some cases here and seem to be overkill for a lot of the situations we have. But in terms of, you know, having to meet the, you know, what you have to do, the turnaround and all of that, is it possible that we have in our code something to the effect of roads that subdivisions that choose not to meet the road requirements that will allow public safety and emergencies are developed at their own risk, and the associated with the deeds for any of those lots would be a statement that says, and the town will not be responsible for providing access for fire vehicles or public safety. I mean, is there a way, you know, if someone wants to put a subdivision in and they want to do the minimal road stuff, what the town says is, okay, you can choose to do that, but you will not get fire protection, or you won't get, and each lot that is sold needs to say that. So I'm just trying to find a way to balance, you know,
yeah,
telling people you have to build a 40-foot wide road or a 20-foot road with 3 feet of road base. So I'm with just thinking about that as an alternative. Is there a way to relieve the town of the responsibility? I mean, you don't want to put people at risk, but if a developer says, I can't afford to develop these lots to build that wide road, da 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 da.
Yeah.
So it was a thought.
I mean, I think realistically, like, our people are going to want emergency vehicles to be able to access their place. And I don't think the emergency responders, it's a tough spot to just be like, oh, well, they're on our list of roads we don't go down, so we're just not going to go help that person. And especially in the case of fire and stuff, it can still spread to houses that are accessible. I mean, I appreciate you trying to think outside the box on that one. I think, yeah, I guess I just always kind of go back to, like, if a fire truck can get down a driveway to one house, why can't it get down a driveway to two houses? Like, if the fire truck can get there, I'm good.
Well, this kind of brings up the point that I thought of last time, was that, if the town actually said, well, the fire department would be checking roads on a yearly basis to see that they can actually access for fire, then it would be up to the private driveway or private street people to do some changes you know, because we don't want the fire truck to go down to save the house and get stuck there.
Yeah.
That would be horrendous.
Right.
Anyway, so that's possible.
Comes down to our enforcement issues.
Yeah.
Right?
And I haven't talked to anybody on the fire department specifically, but I think I would like to go ahead and do that and see, or actually even approach the town and say, okay, is the town willing to help support the fire department and training to on a yearly basis go through the town? It's not that many people. Places, and they could say, yeah, we should get down there.
Yeah,
they could make an assessment.
And so if there's a driveway that they can't get down, a driveway, just to like one person's house, subdivisions aside, there's nothing really the town could do about that, or there is? You just would tell the owner, like, just so you know, we can't get to your house, and it's the owner's choice to make it better.
Better.
Yeah.
And not if we're, and if we're not specifying standards for private driveways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, okay. I guess that's a question. I mean,
right.
Will we be specifying standards for private
driveways? I think at the last meeting,
or is it just private streets?
At the last meeting, I think it was decided that we'd start with streets.
We're, you know, as a planning commissioner, you know, a planning committee, though, we're kicking the can down the road of responsibility. This is where we have responsibility to the town. And we'd love to hug people and say we understand about not affording things. Everybody's tight. And, but we've got to face the responsibilities that we have. Everybody has a right to be safe in Boulder. Everybody has a right to protect their property if it did go on fire. And, you know, then the other part is, it's not just the public safety that goes to houses. We have other kind of vehicles for deliveries and food and stuff too. So we've just got to address it and be responsible about it, is my feel. We can't kick it down the road and say, you know, we'd like to put something in our ordinance that says, hey, it's just your responsibility, and then have something happen. And they come back to us and say, hey, why didn't you protect us from this? You know, that's our job as a community, is protect each other, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley. Yeah. Basically, the town is responsible for having a fire department, and hopefully ambulance, EMTs. And it actually supports that. So yes, we could. You have, your point is well taken. Okay, so far I am not starring any of these, but
what's a star mean?
I feel like,
I mean, just like whether we agree at all. I mean,
we agree on what that safety. We might disagree slightly on what that standard should be, but I think we all agree that public. Okay. I almost was like, we don't even need to have this line in here. Access for public safety is a concern, and said, like, of course it is.
Right. But we're talking the broad picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments before I go on to four? Access requirements of wild, Utah Wildland Urban Interface Code will be used for the minimum requirements vehicle access to lots. And you know, the road is 20 feet, but that is 20 feet of space in which they can actually pass each other.
Private, a private street would be defined as 20 feet.
Yeah. Well, the fire code says 20 feet, but that can be driven on. It's not. It's like unobstructed area of 20 feet, basically. And, you know, the lane that goes down to Black Mesa, it's set up with pullouts every so often. So, I mean, we can clarify that as far as exactly, but mainly it's that it's 20 feet that's unobstructed on each side of the road. Isn't that what Pete told you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like the road base necessarily on the road.
It's like a car's tires, and then you like 16 feet, but you have to put the base of it with your edges. Like, there doesn't actually have to be 20 feet of gravel.
Right.
Thing that's on the web, the road standards for fire apparatus.
Right.
And this basically defines what those standards would be.
And it says 20 feet
says 20 feet, unobstructed width of 20 feet, exclusive of shoulders, and have an unobstructed vertical clearance of 13 feet, 6 inches. Okay, we don't have
exclusive shoulders?
Exclusive of shoulders.
So the shoulder would have to be more.
That is the way it reads, yeah.
Hmm.
And then the turning radius, there's a 20 foot inside and 40 foot outside, and they've got all these pictures here.
Right, of how the fire truck would be able to turn around.
Right. 10% grade. Mm-hmm. Probably places going up to Black Mesa that are more than 10% grade.
Oh, there's definitely. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing feels like overkill to me, so I don't know.
Well, the things we have in place right now, I think it's 40 feet of road, at least road defining.
For like a public.
For a subdivision, big subdivision. Mm. A subdivision that is more than whatever, but basically, what's in place right now is, I don't know if we have it specifically a minor subdivision in our ordinances right now. And honestly, in my years of doing this here in town, it's always been an issue. This has been the toughest issue that people have had trying to move forward is on roads and how they're taken care of.
Yeah.
How we deal with what needs to be taken care of without actually putting the town in liability or in a position of having to take over them.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's necessarily the right concern, but anyway, that has been the concern. So again, a little overkill possibly on the access.
I mean, it could say something like, will be used as general guidelines for vehicle access to lots rather than as minimum requirements.
Yeah, I think that's better. Because, I mean, after all, it is an urban interface code and we are not an urban area.
As a general guideline. I did kind of do a research on the width of our roads on Google Map. And there's not a lot that's 20 feet wide.
No, there's not.
The surface of Lower Boulder goes down below 20 feet at numerous places. And so that should be brought up, I think, to the town council also, as far as how they want to go forward with that. Okay, so we're gonna add used as a general guide the fire code, as possible agreement. Shelley, do you have any other thoughts on that?
Nope, just sitting here being patient.
Okay,
it's just like you guys said, this is the hardest thing. Roads are the biggest thing. I know in other counties. Besides water, there's wars over this. So I understand how tough it is. We'll get through it.
At least we'll do our best. Okay. Because the terms of all weather worlds are not defined in the wildland urban fire code, a set of engineering performance standards and typical road construction cross sections should be adapted by reference, or adopted by reference. I'm sorry.
What if we just say we need to define all weather roads or something? I mean, I'm not quite sure.
It's a little wordy. We need.
Yeah, it's a little wordy. And again, this typical road construction cross sections. What does that mean? I mean, I guess what he's saying is we have to define what an all-weather road is, and I guess we have to decide that we're going to say roads need to be all-weather roads. I mean, is that going to be a requirement?
Seems like it.
Isn't all weather roads considered like we have slick rock? And if there's snow on it, then that's not prepared as an all weather road, right? You can't get on it at certain times of the year. It's got to be where you can get on it all time types of weather, correct?
Correct. And okay. I think that I feel like engineering standards and a cross section, I feel like that's probably unnecessary work for the town. When I've called about getting an all weather road and asking, I don't remember who's Jackson Excavation, whoever it was, what that means. And they like have UDOT standard. Like if you say you need an all weather road, they tell you what you need. They give you your options. So I don't really think it's a problem, honestly. I don't think we need to like spend the time or money engineering this. I think like if that's as specific as they are in the urban one, I think we're fine. Like when you call and say all weather, they're like, got it.
Oh,
I think it's really an issue.
They would come and tell us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever you got things as, but like other I don't think we need to like have our own personal engineering standards done. Someone else has done this, or like I said, you can just call and ask for all weather roads and they have like a few different options at a few different prices and
right
stuff.
In good point. Yeah.
So the statement here is something to the effect of, you know, define all weather road to be UDOT, use UDOT definitions to define all weather road or something to that effect.
Right.
Just,
yeah.
Rather than kind of odd wording.
Great. Okay. So are we good on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So either phrase it that way or just take it out would work.
Yeah. Basically, it's all weather road. Okay. Reference standards should reflect past Boulder practices, specifically the informal standard that the four-wheel drive fire truck should be able to get through, this will qualify as a soil-bearing load, thickness of gravel, road bays, drain ditches, and culvert guidelines.
So he's saying that instead of that statement, we should have these standards. Is that what that is saying?
I mean, it sounds like a different set of
standards.
Like he's saying something completely different than what was said with, you know, private streets will use the urban wildland interface code as general guideline. I mean,
yeah.
Why do we need to say this if we've already said?
Right.
Our intent is to use the wildland urban interface code.
Yeah, I don't think we need that one. Also, the whole like the fire truck should be able to get through thing, I like it. You know, like I don't think we should ditch that. I think if we had more rules that were like, if it works, let's do it, I think that would be really great.
You'd almost add that a four-wheel drive fire truck can get through. To number three up above, I mean, access, you know, for public safety and emergencies is primary. Okay.
Yeah, and as long as the fire truck can get there,
through, you're
why
good.
Why are we so concerned?
There we go.
Yeah, it's a good idea to add it to three.
Okay. Okay, great.
Did you say to ditch six completely? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, just put the four-wheel drive fire truck should be able to get through and add it to that to three and then ditch the rest of it.
I like it.
Okay. Thanks, Shelley. Okay. Number seven, engineering design will be required for roads serving more than crossing major.
I think he probably means there's a point in Lee's document where it says that roads should be engineered if they serve more than eight lots. And then he also says they should be engineered if they go into like a stream zone or like a sensitive zone.
Right.
So I think he probably means to say
he left something out.
Will be required for roads serving more than eight lots or roads crossing major. I think there's something missing there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to say we'll refer to Lee's comment for this in regards to this.
Yeah, probably so. But I think we're probably all, yeah. I mean, the point is, do we want streets to need to be engineered if they're serving more than 8 lots? And do we want streets to be engineered if they're going through sensitive lands, and how would we define that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So are you kind of conflating those two, the 7 and 8 then?
No, actually, I'm still just looking at 7. I think I'm like referencing in my brain something else in Lee's document.
I think she's saying so a number 7 after the word for roads serving more than, that's where you would put in more than 8 lots.
More right? than 8 lots or crossing major streets.
Word like or, so be more than 8 lots or.
Yeah, again, I think, yeah, 7 and 8 could
but
be.
But it is conflating 7 and 8, as you
said. So I think that's one, if we can just come up with that, that all together.
Yeah,
so are we right. going to set this bar at 8? I mean, we basically said, you know, private streets, any number of lots, we are going to make some different criteria if it's 8 or more lots.
I think that's appropriate only because of the amount of traffic on 8 lots versus 2 or 8 lots versus, or we could, I mean, the number is pretty arbitrary as we talked about
yeah, that's
before.
That's the issue.
And so I guess we're not.
Yeah, we could ask Lee if that number 8 came from somewhere. It does feel like 8 is the kind of number where, because Lee makes it in a different document, he makes the point that while we want to make things doable for these kind of, he calls them DIY subdivisions, he also makes the point that plenty of subdivisions will have the goal of profit and try to be a lot of lots. And so maybe somehow he's thinking that 8, because it is hard to imagine a subdivision of 8 being like just like a small local run subdivision, you know, like locals doing it. So that might be where that number comes from, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think we had this conversation.
Can I interject?
Sure.
I think it might be because King's Pasture, I don't know how many lots are on there. They should have 2 entrances to that situation. And originally they did. So if there is a fire, you don't have just one way out. If there's more than 8, you should have more than one way to get out if there's a fire or something else. Maybe that's what it is. I may be wrong.
No, but it's definitely something we should consider.
And that's not even in this list of right, you know, multiple points of access.
When you talk about this too, like, so it says lots. So everything refers to like how many lots. But is there ever something like if someone's subdividing the property, and they're going to put like a bigger house that's going to like hold many more people, or if you're going to put a business at the end, mm-hmm. is it different than lots? You know, like, so we're saying like lots, but you're thinking like 2 to 3 cars max. But what if whatever is being subdivided at the end is being used for 10 cars? Does that make a difference?
Well, there's a whole different process to do that. So
currently, okay.
So it is just lots.
Yeah.
This is mostly subdivision.
Yeah, okay. And you don't know what the population will be on those lots.
Correct. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're just subdividing this per.
Yeah. And each lot gets to have, you know, another dwelling on it too. So that
only 2 people can live on each lot. And they have to share a car.
That's how they solve the road problem.
Maybe the environment also.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think that I heard that 7 and 8 should be somehow
combined
in some way. And, you know, I referencing Lee's whole thing too.
I mean, I definitely want to put a plug in for, you know, major stream crossings and sensitive lands. We need to think about the road impact, and then
yeah.
the sort of number of lots and the size is kind of a separate issue. So I'd almost separate those and say,
oh, okay.
Yes, you know, I agree.
Yeah, I agree also.
Okay, great.
And a better definition of sensitive lands might be good. There might already be one in our ordinance somewhere, but.
All right. Okay, definition.
Okay, so just cross out that serving more than. That will be required for roads crossing major streams and areas identified as sensitive land. So that would stand alone. And then we've got the number of lots one in number eight.
Could decide.
Could decide, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I do have a question. Can I ask?
Sure.
One thing Lee had said previously that probably one of the biggest items when you're talking about roads is drainage. So I'm wondering about, I don't want to throw a monkey into the works here, but even on small roads, if you happen to have a need of a culvert to, that could happen on a driveway. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that somehow addressed, the drainage slash culvert requirement?
I think
it is in our ordinance, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
but this is, I mean, you're looking at
I what, think what you want to carry things, forward. I think A, we could include it in like the whole maintenance agreement thing, is that if people are sharing a private street of a certain size, they have to account for drainage and make a plan for that or whatever. Also, I don't know if it's in the rules, so it might, but if it's not, we might want to put it there. But when Pete came to look at my road, he did talk to me about drainage and suggested certain things. And so I don't know if he did that just because he's thinking smartly about things or if it's because it's like in his checklist, you know, like if someone else other than Pete is doing it. Yeah, that's what I
guess. Well, maybe we need one in here that is basically says ensure drainage is addressed in all road construction. You know, that would just cover it, whether it's private driveway or private street. Stop calling them roads. Private driveway, private street. So
yeah,
it's kind of a separate.
Yeah, and I think the maintenance agreement probably will end up taking care of that, because usually if you're building something, someone else that you're sharing the road with is already there and knows where it gets messed up. And
if you have a private driveway, though, let's say you're putting in another private driveway off of a private street, you want to make sure that it's not going to create drainage problems
for the,
any other private driveway.
And who makes that call?
And what if Lower Boulder Road creates drainage problems on your private streets? How do we deal with that one?
We go to the town and we complain. Okay. All right. So basically what we've got here is that the engineering design will include addressing major stream crossings and identifying sensitive lands. Should we not say engineering? Should we just say design of the road? For roads, will be required to address culvert needs and identify sensitive lands.
It seems like it's saying that the road needs to be engineered. I mean, if it's crossing streams and.
And we,
So I almost feel like this language doesn't have to be explicit. I mean, these are high level agreements that we're concerned about streams and sensitive lands, and roads are going to have to be designed to ensure they don't cause damage.
Yeah, the designed by an engineer thing might be excessive, but maybe it's not. I wonder if whoever the road person is for town council could be part of that conversation. Just like you're going to make a private street, they come look at it, they say you're going to have drainage problems, you should put in a culvert.
Can I just remind you that the person who's in charge of roads on the town council is not necessarily a road person? With the knowledge thereof.
What if we want to be explicit, say, you know, major stream crossings and areas identified as sensitive lands under the current ordinance will be protected from damage in road design or something. I mean, that we really are trying to minimize any impact. And whether that means they're engineered by an engineer or whether
Yeah, we can figure out those details later. Yeah.
But yeah, basically, the goal is to, you know, minimize damage if you're putting in a road. Right. Right. I'll agree with that.
I'm into that too.
I think these need to be drafted for this next meeting. Are you good on that? Yeah. Okay. Peg, what is taking great notes. So, okay. I am going, and we are recorded. A maintenance agreement for private streets shall be recorded and run with the land and included at least the following provisions. Name of responsible contacts. It's not very high level. Name of responsible contact persons, provisions of assessing landowners. So this is all about the HOA, or what was the other name for it?
The CCNR.
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 Covenants. It's a covenant
and
thing.
Covenants and requirements that go along with, like, when you build a house on the ledge.
Right. We have some at Deer Creek, so just requirements that go with the land. Okay, so he's just listing basically what should be in there. Contact person, that seems appropriate.
Can we just say a maintenance agreement shall be recorded and run with the land?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
For a high level.
Oh.
You can put all that in parens, Peg, when you type it out.
I mean, do you want to keep all those elements or just leave it with the maintenance agreement should be recorded? You're going to have to the detail
if the private street is right, but then, yeah, as a high level, this is like we
safety.
Yeah.
And after
run of
the land. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I was going to ask if we talked about the last sentence in that, but if we're ending after, I guess.
If the private street is construction to minimum standards for public safety access, as disclaimer motion?
Disclaimer should be included that the travel surface may not be suitable for two-wheel drive passenger cars in wet weather and may require maintenance.
Okay, so we're just getting rid of that. Perfect. Okay. That works for me.
We won't throw away the document because we'll need to reference it.
But, and we have lots of examples of road maintenance agreements too. So.
Yeah. Okay, we're down to number 10, repeal an existing subdivision street standards. Well, that's sort of a given. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Adopt for reference in the ordinance that the appropriate engineering design standards and reference drawings will reflect the above policies. That again.
Yeah.
Okay. Any disagreement with that? All above standards are based on emergency access and are not included to be sufficient.
Not intended to be.
Oh, sorry. Intended to be sufficient. Sufficient for streets that are proposed for adoption by the town as dedicated public streets.
So basically it says there will be more stringent standards for public streets that the town adopts.
Which is fine to leave in, and also I feel like we could take that out. It's not really relevant.
Well, I think that it would probably be to the advantage of the people who are subdivising to know if they want to actually say, okay, I'm going to develop the street so that the town takes it over.
Right.
And it's a town road. They will need to know the standards. And I think that's what he's getting at.
Yeah.
So basically, a need for street standards
for public streets.
I just think if you were going to make a public street, go to the public street standards and find your answer there. But it doesn't hurt to have it in. It's just not necessary, is my thought.
Yeah, I would agree. I keep thinking it's difficult. I want a page that says private driveway, and then it says this, private street, this, public street, this.
That's nice. That's a great idea.
Sort of want
the standards
for each of the categories that we've defined. Keep feeling like we're sort of making it more complicated.
Yeah, driveways, private streets, and public
streets. So you could look it up in one place. I mean, if I were, and there might be a little bit of repetition on what's, in the word and stream crossings or something. But
okay, so let's see, where are we in our time? Okay, so I am probably going to be closing this meeting in half an hour. 7:30.
You can close whenever you want, Gina.
No, I know. I'm just trying to get it out of here before the next meeting.
45
minutes. Okay. All right. So we did go through this and the questions. So it will come up with the changes that we made here. And then this next meeting will have like actual votes on whether we agree with all of these, and the motions will be made
on each item.
Well, it depends on if someone has a disagreement with one of the items or not, but.
So is Lee doing some work for us on this?
Okay, so now Lee has another document that we should have. It's a memo from October 26th, and I think it's his latest of these. Is it on your list too?
Is it the access standard one?
I've got two of them because October 19th. Let's see.
Is it the Boulder access standards? This one right now.
That's what I've got up to.
Okay. Of the items I have listed for the meeting, Boulder access.
That's this one.
That's so frustrating. Where's my screen? Okay. There we go. Okay. So. The second one down, Boulder Access Standards, is that what we are thinking about?
That's this one, which is different than this one.
All right. So I think that's your second. The one with yellow is the second one.
I thought that was the first one, and then I numbered that number one, and then I think we got this one, which was his rewrite.
Which one are we talking about? This is.
Could we ask Lee to make sure he dates things?
Oh, yeah.
So is this what we're talking about? You going to see.
That's the Boulder Access Standard.
So is that what we're talking about right now? Or is there another updated version? Because this is what we have for October 19th, I believe, for the work meeting on October 19th.
Yeah, that would be it then.
And then, but this was October 26th, which was a revision, I guess, of this. I was thinking this was a revision of the. Of this.
Yeah, I thought this was the latest one on October 26th. But.
Well, I'll have to replace what's on the web then with October 26th. I don't have that with me. Well, I do. It's on the web. Let's see what. No, it wouldn't be on the web. Would it be on in November?
It's.
Is it on November?
Did we just
is it there it? For the.
I don't have that. This is just copied from an email.
I don't know where I got this. Okay. Why?
It's a memo. This one was a memo.
And it must have been an email because this was after our October Planning Commission meeting. And did we talk about this at our November?
Well, yeah, I was hoping we would, but we didn't really get there.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to get it to. Might be on the web, but.
So.
And then there's this one, how, where will access and other standards, again, with no date on the. This one's October 19th.
So November 9th meeting might have been the. Peg, if it helps you find it, I just found it.
There's an email that you sent us on November 3rd.
That she can't take that.
I don't have that with me.
You don't have email with you?
Oh, it's not to bring it up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
If you have it to share, you can share it. You can have it in the Zoom and then share. So,
can I send it to you?
Send it to the Peg. Edward for one June.
You're going to bring it up?
You might be able to get it there. Okay.
I'll send it to all the listeners.
Let's just go ahead and. No worries.
Sorry, guys. No, never mind. I can't do it.
Okay.
I don't have my password.
So I think Jess would be it.
There's the, he talks about the two principles of recording access.
Which thing are you referring to right now?
Well, I guess Lee's memo. So the one that you have is the one before that from Lee.
So do you want to talk about something that I can't display?
Is that okay?
I just logged in again. I don't think the internal standards is really what you want to talk about.
Sorry that one listed as October, how access standards fit.
We've got that one is on the web for TV. Okay, yes. Look. This one.
Yes.
Okay. So. There, right? That's one. Do you have it? Are you sure yours? I read the other one for tonight, but I've read this before. Let me scan it again.
Yeah. Shelley, did you find that?
Nope. I like the one you had up, though.
The highlighted one?
We can pull it back up. Shelly, if it helps you find it in your email, Peg sent it to us on November 3rd.
So this one is that, well, the how access standards fit, October 19th memo.
That's a different
one. No, this one is October Boulder Access is the name of it.
Wait a minute. I thought we were on how access standards fit.
That's what's online that we need to. So should we just go over that?
October how access there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What are we trying to accomplish?
My main thing was to accomplish some discussion on roads that we could actually kind of move forward on. Let's just do this in a broader. Pull it out of, in a broader sense in that one of the things that we discussed was that we actually talk about the map and how that will possibly become part of our access policies or suggestions moving forward. The Class C roads, plus all of the dedicated roads within town, and also identifying all the private streets that we have. And in doing this, we will have something that is clearly what we have in town and defining the streets. That we have that tonight. And also I would like to just kind of talk basically on, you know, how actually we'd like to give this job to somebody to come up with for us, as far as what we want in our ordinances requirements for a road maintenance agreement. And a minimum example would be that it references where the road is at, description of the road uses, description of the maintenance fees, and determination or maintenance doesn't have to have fees to termination clause, any agreement within the group that is using that road or street, sorry. It would be great if we could come up with something that we can all agree about for road maintenance agreement links that Lee put together, but I am not really prepared to do that tonight. On the street maps, I'm flailing here.
Do we want to think about who might work on that? The ball hits it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm probably not the right person to work on it because I have an open subdivision application and it would be a document that would apply to me. But I would be happy to, since I've been going through this and reading a lot of maintenance agreements, I'd be happy to send my notes to whoever's doing it of what I've learned actually doing it. But I don't think I should be the one to make the document for conflict reasons.
Specifically the maintenance agreement.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I...
But
I shouldn't volunteer to work with Lee, but I'm willing to work with Lee. In looking at these four memos and documents we have from Lee over the last 2 months, it seems to me that this folder access standards, I think this is a later document than this one. So, I mean, I'd be happy to sit down with Lee and say, this is what we need to do. He's outlined some of it here.
Right.
In terms of, you know, a private driveway must do this and this and this, but maybe there's some clearer language, sort of take all of this and take what we just did with John's thing and put it into a document that says, here's a preliminary draft of what we might want to include in ordinances for access to subdivision.
Right. I think that would be the next step.
So that in this document I have too,
with the street, the driveway hitting the road and one. And then there's the
right. But it's slightly different in all these documents.
Right.
I mean, I've got four here.
Define the, or just name the title or the.
So there's one that says memo that's dated October 26th. It says revised 10/26. Then there's one that says Boulder Access Standards. It doesn't have any.
No footer?
No. The footer actually says Boulder Access Standards.
And that's all
no reference. No reference to a date. Mm-hmm. Then there's the discussion notes on access and streets dated October 8th. And then there's where will access and other standards fit into the new approach to subdivisions? And it's dated October 19th.
Yes.
So it's a long title.
Oh, that's the one I think I just...
We have too many documents and I feel like we need them all sort of compressed into
one. Where they mix.
And I think that's why, I mean, John brought up this 12 things, is that we would come to some kind of direction for Lee to consolidate, move and move forward.
So I have a process question. We have sent some of these definitions for private driveway, private street, and public street to the town council. We don't like some of the wording in it anymore, at least based on some of this discussion that we've had with Lee.
Right.
So what's the process? Do we let the town council know that we'd like to do some more work on that before?
You mean for the housekeeping?
Yeah, but right. Or do we just let them
let it go? We need other stuff in here right now.
And then we come back when we do the subdivision.
Right. I would agree with that.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify what that.
Yeah, I think that's a stop hold, basically.
Okay.
All right. I guess, all right. So do we want to go through this access standards approach to subdivision regulation?
Yeah. That's a really high level question.
Standards. How about just, talking about the standards?
So this memo that was dated October 8th, what problems are we trying to solve?
You want to read those?
So there's 9 of them here. Number one was current, quote, as approved by town language in the subdivision chapter is superseded by SB 174. So we know that. So the changes in state law are going to negate as approved by town language in our subdivision chapter. So that's a problem we have to address. Number two, we need a minimum street standard for public safety emergency vehicles. So we've sort of agreed to that.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the current street standards do not reflect the rural character in the general plan. So that's kind of a subjective thing.
Which John actually brought up as far as that was one of his first things on making streets.
General plan. Number four, distinction between private streets and private driveways to 4 lots may not make sense. Okay, we've already dealt with that.
Yeah.
Number five, due to informal access in the past, there needs to be an explicit requirement that all future subdivision lots have recorded access to a public road or need recorded access to a public road.
And how could you have a subdivision without having public an access to a public road?
Well, recorded access to a public road. And as we talked about with Lee, some of these subdivisions, they will be on a private street that accesses a public road.
Right.
So,
right.
Number six, current rules create hassles for small developments, but do nothing to protect against a suburban style subdivision. So that's probably something we really need to keep in mind as we think about this, because mm-hmm. it's part of the general plan stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, there are no clear standards for a private street maintenance agreement. So we've got that one covered. Number eight, there are no road design standards for drainage and runoff control. And number nine, beyond public safety minimums, it may be appropriate to require private streets serving multiple lots to be constructed in a way that minimizes future maintenance. Now, that's something we haven't really talked about.
Can you repeat that?
Beyond the public safety minimums, it may be appropriate to require private streets serving multiple lots to be constructed in a way that minimizes future maintenance. So you might overbuild it in order to not have to be dealing with fixing it down the road, so to speak.
And basically that would probably be a standard with where the town would actually be willing to take over that.
Potentially, right.
Right.
That it was a road that had enough traffic that at some point the town, it would become a public street.
Right.
You have to stop saying roads. So those were the problems we're trying to solve. I mean, I think we've addressed
most of them.
Most of them, there's a few.
Yeah. What were the outstanding ones that haven't been addressed?
Okay. Yes. Well, we've got the whole general thing that the subdivision chapter needs to be fixed because of SB 174. Current street standards don't reflect the rural character in the general plan, but we need to figure out how to actually do that. Subdivisions, all future subdivisions may need recorded access to a public road. So we haven't, I mean, that's, I think, just specifying a statement in the ordinance that that would have to occur.
I think that's already there. I feel like we always act like this one's not in there, but you need access to do it. That's always been true.
To a public road, that's the recorded access to a public road, which would say that the private street somehow is recorded officially in some way that then gives someone access to a public road. Current rules create hassles for small developments, but do nothing to protect against a suburban style subdivision. I mean, that
one remains unaddressed.
Yeah, right. And it probably needs some thought as to what it.
Well, this is the one where I think if we could make it very clear, like how many, I mean, like 10 for each building, you can say that 10 vehicles or each resident, 10 vehicles move in and out per day on average, including UPS, whatever. Maybe on
the average person is going 10 times a day.
No, there's
people visiting.
You have a couple.
Yeah. You have a couple and they go their separate ways and then they come back. That's four. and that's four.
Yeah.
It adds up pretty quickly, UPS and FedEx. And then you've got a friend coming over and they come and they go back. And that's
no parties.
Big parties.
Subdivisions.
It's a baseline in which we could decide. Each residence, there's 10. And so if, for instance, I think there's 40, almost 40 residents in the King Estates. And so that's 400 trips in and out, which is amazing. They only have one street to get in and out of there, right? Yeah. So that becomes a bigger deal.
So are you suggesting that we would say something like, you know, we put a tally for every vehicle that goes in and out, and once you hit, you know, 50 or whatever the number is, no more trips in and out? I mean, this protects against us.
I guess that's what we figure as how we decide when a road is needs more than accessing a smaller number of people.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. How many last or
street? Sorry. What?
Are you talking about a single access point?
No, I'm not necessarily. But I mean, I'm just saying that how a road is developed or what standard a road needs to be developed to will change.
Depending on
how many people are using it on a regular basis, right? I mean, that's a way of doing it logically that makes sense maybe to us as far as when things start to need to. And also, you know, as we talked about, the how fast people can go on the road makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So in King Estates, are there road maintenance agreements? I mean, those roads.
No, they're town.
They're town roads.
They're town roads. They're
kind of in funky shape.
Right? Okay. What's different from it? I mean, right.
Okay. All right. Well, I do think this needs a work session specifically on some of the approach.
I agree. We need a work session. I have a question. It's a little off the subject, but it's a burning one. How
you know, we are a town road. The King's estate is. What made them that they require? I know it passed through the town, the town council. That's how they became Boulder Street. But what is our tax base to make a subdivision a Boulder Town Street? Does that make sense?
I don't think that was part of the process of deciding that.
Yeah, but it's coming up. I mean, we've got a subdivision already that wants to be part of the Boulder road, you know, street, part of the town street. And who wouldn't, you know, because then you don't have to worry about all these maintenance and stuff. What kind of tax base do we have to make that? Is there anything in our ordinance or anything that we have that says, or does it just go through the town?
I think it's how the street is brought up to a certain standard is the only thing I know in our ordinance.
It's dedicated to the town, and the town has to accept it.
Yeah, and the town has to accept it.
So it's got to be on a tax basis because we've got to be able to afford it, right?
That would be part of the decision making, but it's not in.
Yeah, there's nothing in the ordinance about it. I don't think it's just more like they decide if they want to spend money on that or not. If it's in the
Thank ordinance. You for taking the time to answer that question for me, though. I was curious.
I mean, I think that's something that the town would have to consider, but it's
and
not.
Lee's always making that point of like most towns just have these be public roads.
Right.
We make things more complicated.
Yeah.
And we are making things more complicated by having them having the option of private roads. But that's the choice we've made so far.
So I think most of the rest of these we've dealt with, except the sort of what we're just talking about now, that beyond when you require private street to be built, that you do it in a way that will minimize future maintenance and may ultimately lead to the town adopting it.
Right.
I think the rest of these we've touched on in one way or another.
Okay, so going forward, Nancy, have you volunteered?
I did volunteer, although I was just sitting here thinking, I am leaving. I've got some time in December. I don't have time in January. So if I can work with Lee and get something done in December,
possibly.
Right. So.
And can we put a thumbs up for sending our changes forward to the rest of the town council, the planning commission as something we've reviewed and for the next meeting?
Our changes on the motions are
right
on John's list.
Thumbs up for me, Elena.
Okay.
Thumbs up
for Nancy. How about you, Shelley?
Sorry, I couldn't get it off mute.
That's okay.
We're agreeing that we're going to work on this a little more, correct?
Yeah, and the changes that we made to the motions that John, or statements that John put together.
Yes, thumbs up.
And yeah, Peg will have them available for our next meeting.
Okay, thumbs up from me.
Okay. And we'll send him to Lee as sort of a starting point for him to just have a discussion there. The only thing that I know that we argued about, not argued, discussed, was whether or not we would require a intersection in the King on a 90 degree angle and that kind of thing. So
I wanted to bring that up. Where do we stand on that? I think it seems... I didn't say something, but I feel like, I don't know, why?
I think it's a typical suburban style construction feature.
Yeah.
Lee said it's pretty typical engineering standards. And that's what he said when I asked about it, because I questioned it.
I mean, we could have like a degree range. Like, I understand not having like a hairpin turn, you know, but it's like, that doesn't always make sense, just like the way things are set up.
It should be even more of a case by case.
I drive down driveways to people's houses all the time that are at 90 degrees and I'm fine.
Yeah.
And the truck would be fine too. Like, right. I think we can have a range, you know, like we probably don't want it to go like,
well, it could strive to be 90 degrees. I mean, you know.
So, like, meaning, like,
oh, he has a range, actually. A private driveway should intersect a public or private street at a 90-degree plus or minus 10-degree angle.
What about, like, plus or minus 40? I mean, I'd have to actually look at it, but it's, like, it's not necessary. It's so unnecessary.
Talking about so it intersects like this.
Yeah, so 90. This would be 45. So yeah, maybe plus or minus like 30.
I got a question. What is this 90 degrees? If it do we have them or not have them?
We have them and we don't have. I mean, we have a variety of options in town at this time.
The question is: should we make a private street intersect with a public street at a 90-degree angle?
Oh, fun.
It really is places where it's safer if it is that way. Right. I mean, yeah, if you're going on, like, I'm going to give an example. So
yeah,
there is an example of a private street coming on and meeting the public road pretty much like this, right? So,
right, like that.
You know, I live on one, right?
You live on a street that is
I have a private street that goes to a public street and it's on a 90 degrees. So I can't see people coming.
Well,
right?
It's supposed to be 90 degrees.
Yep. It is. And you can't see, there's no stop signs. So you get out in the road and you gun it, hoping nobody's coming around the corner.
Well, there's a corner involved.
Yeah, and 90 degrees is a corner. It's a private street coming out to a public street.
And it's a 90 degree turn.
Yep, I'm right on a 90 degree where the street sign's right on that corner, and I have to come out, and there's no stop sign, so you can't see people coming around. Trucks, cars, you name
well,
it.
Well, 90 degree is the standard that we have, so if that's not working, I don't know.
Lee had written, when he gave us some guidance earlier, he said private driveway must intersect a public or private street. And I crossed out must and said should, or we could say, you know, to the extent feasible.
Even a driveway?
This was
no,
a driveway,
I think this is
right.
Ridiculous. Find me a driveway in Boulder. I mean, some.
Oh, can't we take things as they come? Too, we will address these situations when they come. Can't we put that in it? Because we should look at these situations, and everyone could be unique, right?
As long as it's safe, it's fine.
But we're trying to set
standards. Set a standard, right.
Divisions in the future. I mean, these aren't going to be retroactive. So,
right.
Gonna...
But we're in rural Utah, so it's hard to put a standard on something like that, right? Because
right.
Every one of those 90 degrees are going to be kind of different how roads come in.
Well, I think both that one and, you know, the intersection and then the grade. There was one for the grade. A private driveway must have a grade of no more than 3% within 40 feet of its intersection with the road. Anyway, I mean, these were some of the standards that he was proposing that I think we may just need to have a clean list of all of these and then talk through them and say, does this make sense? Does this make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds good. So we'll get a clean list.
Yeah.
Like it.
And then, thanks. And
where do I get the clean list?
I'm going to work with Lee to try to put it together.
Okay. So thank you, Nancy.
That's not on your
and then, and then
we can John's thing.
We can, you can pass it on to someone else once you're gone. And if, you know, as far as, thanks, Nancy, for starting that. Okay. I'm not going to be here much in December, so I'm.
Do we know where the 3% grade thing came from? I don't have a good concept in my mind of what 3% looks like versus 5 or 7 or 2. So I'm just curious
pretty
where
flat.
That number might have come from.
Pretty
yeah.
Flat.
So it's like
there are places on the hot back where it's 14%.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm using as like my high point. I'm like, what's 3% look like?
Yeah.
And like if it's pretty flat. Yeah, I really wonder where the 3% came from and what the outer limit of that is.
I think he took from, you know, what's sort of standard.
Yeah, that's what something that, yeah.
That's what he said about the 90 degrees.
And I get that, you know, you want a street or an access to the main street where you can actually see one way and the other before yeah. you enter it, which is very safety issue. Okay, yeah. The other thing I was hoping to get a thumbs up on was based on our maps. And I would like to, Lee is going to present some stuff for us with maps, I believe, this next meeting. So we'll be looking at those.
The summer zoning things or the roads?
It's an overlay with the zoning.
Okay.
So
his 5 zones, he is going to come up with some.
Right. And he's got, plats and stuff like that. So that will be coming through soon. And I feel like at the next meeting, I would like to have some motion to move information onto the town council for them to also say, okay, we get it, what you're doing, we agree or we disagree. Only because then that means that they are part of this ahead of just an ordinance sort of, but this is what we're looking at as far as ordinances. And then also dealing with times for a forum. And I know that you're gone and we'll be back in February. Is that right, Nancy?
Okay.
And you will be back in March.
Yeah, but I'll be available.
Okay. So I'm thinking that if we can do something in early February as a forum, I want people to think about that as an option too, just so that we have maybe Lee's zoning thing and
I won't be back till the
8th of February.
The Planning Commission meeting is on the 8th, and my goal is to try to be back here in person. It might Zoom. But,
okay, yeah, that's
but, it can happen after that.
Okay.
Right. I was just going to bring up some, you know, John gave us this discussion white paper on the new the land use ordinance package.
Right.
And he went through sort of the broader discussion of what has to be changed in our subdivision code.
Right.
And I wondered if at some point we could talk about this because, it seems to me this would be a really good thing to lay out for next year to say, you know, we're going to try to work on this in January and this in February and to begin to inform the council about the magnitude of this.
Of what we're doing. Uh-huh.
Because there's just a ton of stuff here that we are going to have to cycle through the process and figure out how do we chunk it up in the most reasonable way to give it to the town council.
We could
lay it out as a plan for next year for 2024, how we're going to get to the council adopting what it needs to by December 2024, and what does that schedule look like?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm feeling the pinch on that.
So yesterday, I spent quite a bit of time with this gentleman, and his name is Roger Carter. He was just put in place by ultimately the governor's office, and he's part of the five counties. So the legislature and the governor put him in this position. And I don't know what his exact title is. I have it written down, but I don't know in this moment. So they realized how much help the small communities need, right? Like, we can't come up to standard of so many things or to the norm with no resources. And so the governor has actually put this division into place, and they just started. Like, this is the first meet he's ever come around. And so they're trying to figure out exactly what this program means. And so, like, when I was listening to Roger Carter, I was like, oh, okay, you're the town helper, right? So he is part of the five counties. And when I talked, I got to actually meet with him in person yesterday. And the conversation with him is, you know, they know there's a need for all these towns. And it's an interesting thing. Like, when you attend the five counties, even someone as Washington compared to Boulder is going through a lot of the same things, you know, like affordable housing, road issues, especially, you know, thinking of, because our five counties, I don't know the exact ones, but it's basically like Washington up to us. Wayne County is actually not included. And so they realize the help that we need. And so having this conversation with him, he was like, our biggest step will be, you know, we need a list from the town saying, here's all these projects that we need help with. And I brought up this one, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, this will affect our town greatly if we don't have it together. And I think that that's something that, like, yeah, you could dilly-daddle around, and some cities are just waiting to be like, please someone do the work. But if we don't, and we don't have it right, all it takes is one developer to come in and change the entire way that Boulder is. And they definitely heard that, and they're like, we hear that. And so it was an awesome thing to see that they were like, we can't just necessarily hand you money. Mm-hmm. Some of the instances they can, like if it's to do that, but they also have things like, because it's in Southern Utah, they work with SUU a lot. And so people that are going into planning and development, like it's their degree, they bring them in on a lot of projects. Things like, why don't you read through their ordinances and help them develop ordinances? And so then you get this amazing access to like lots of bodies and lots of brains. And yeah, so there's quite a few things. So I think that as you write this list, you know, like these are things that we need to do, and like broad, like what if you could have endless opportunity? What could you get done? If you had all the bodies and you had all the money, where would you bring Boulder to the standard, and what could help do that? And I think that that's something he's going to be asking for soon, you know? And he was like, because then we can start being like, okay, what are the resources that we have to make this happen for you? Mm-hmm. And so as we go forward with all of these things, I think that's going to be the next step too, is asking for help and reaching out to get the help. And this is one of those big things too. And they did say, actually, the legislature just realized, I mean, yes, they gave small towns an extension compared to cities, but they realize they have to give the towns money. And so right now they actually are getting the funds available. They thought they'd have it done by July. They haven't. So they're hoping to push it out by the first of the year to give towns money to be able to meet what the legislature just asked. So just so that kind of everyone's aware of that too, that it's an awesome thing that the governor sees that, man, like, how are we supposed to do all of this? Mm-hmm. And so as the council too, maybe for all of you to take that into consideration, and like, as you write your list, like, here's what we could use help with.
Right. You know, I can see maps for sure. And
totally.
Yeah. There's a lot of different things. I think Lee is probably going to narrow down what we want. And that's
from him.
Yeah, from him and what we want from him, and narrow down what, you know, our broad. Right. That's one of the things we've gotten through so far, I think, a little bit tonight. Yes.
You know, how's our time right now?
It's 7:41.
Thank you.
Looking at the agenda for the 14th, I was a little unclear when you talk about, you would like a motion of things to,
you know, will you give her the mic?
Things to pass to the town council. You want a motion of moving information to the town council to get their reading on whether to proceed or not, but I wasn't clear on what that was. Was it related to the zoning maps? Was it related to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Zoning maps and the road maps we want to get to.
Okay. Secondly, you want to talk about setting a date for the forum?
Yeah, at the if I can at the meeting, we'll talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just talking about the agenda, what the likely agenda for the December 14th meeting.
That's part of it.
So,
which is I got to get together next this coming week.
Yeah. But talk and when Nancy was talking about the layout for John's plant, like that memo that he had that laid out the process between. So it sounds like you married that with what Jessica was just saying. The list for 2024 seems like a December meeting might be a good time to talk about December 24 and try to kind of flesh out this list that may end up going to five county guy.
Mm-hmm. Roger. And there's no timeline. Like he didn't give a timeline. It's just he'll be asking for it soon so that they can jump in and okay. start helping okay. immediately.
I'm just, things if they can. I know you're not ready to finalize your agenda yet, but I'm just trying to.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That would be great. I will look through that again and see if we can get there. And also, I really want to be able to get information out to people. Obviously, you know, the right information, so that we're not boggled by a lot of different memos and documents. So hopefully, we can work on getting that better.
That's partly where you know time when you do the agenda, knowing that this document is what we're going to talk about under this agenda item.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do some of the action versus discussion, you know, characterize it as such.
Right. I think that will help.
I do think, Jessica, that this, you know, what John has put together is a good start for what this list that Roger said the same might find useful. So I do think if we as a planning commission talked about this, it would be a good start to reacting to this and saying, yeah, this is going to take months. This we could do in you know a couple of days discussion, this I'm going through this and who might end up doing it.
Right.
So to sort of generate a package that's going to, the new Boulder land use ordinance package, that's what John called it. So.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to quit at this point. And I appreciate your time.
Perfect.
And effort on this. And hopefully next meeting, we'll be feeling better about going forward on stuff. There will be a slight discussion on the RV. We'll go over that again to see if we can get to.
Yeah. My flight back to my parents' house for Christmas is on the 14th, I realized, which is the day of our meeting. It's not until late, so I'm going to try to, I can at least be on the phone. I'll try to be on Zoom.
Okay.
I'm going to try to figure out if I can be on Zoom, like from the airport or somewhere with Wi-Fi before the airport.
That might be difficult.
I'm tempted to see if we could, but we can't really change the meeting date just because I can't come.
Oh, you mean to have it
earlier? Have it earlier. But
yeah.
December is hard for people. I probably can't do that.
You present yourself?
Yeah, he could. And I feel like. Yeah, he could, and I can send emails knowing that I might not be there or like might have bad connection so that if I can't connect well, you can still do it without me.
Okay.
I'll try to set you up for that.
Okay, I think that will be probably what we'll have to do.
So, Nancy, if you want to be on call in case my airport Wi-Fi works out.
As your standard.
Yeah, I didn't think about that when I booked it like 3 months ago.
Okay, well, thank you. And we're on to another meeting in my time.
Okay.
We're just leaving. No, with your no.
I'm sad because I don't have this.
You guys on Zoom, there's a different link to get onto the town meeting coming up. So,
they're still here. I just don't have it because I'm struggling.
So I'm leaving.
Here we go. So we're going to end this one.